Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
So, some somber news, obviously. Yeah. You guys probably know about this already. While we were recording the vast majority of the rest of this episode, which was this past Friday, Rowdy Roddy Piper passed away due to a cardiac arrest. Very sad.
Yeah.
We were both big fans of the guy.
Yes.
What's some memories? What are some of your highlights from Rowdy Roddy Piper?
The first real wrestling thing I remember watching was WrestleMania 1. And there's a video store in the town I lived in at the time that got WrestleMania videos pretty quick, I think, after the event happened.
Yeah.
And just the box had Mr. T on it. I was like, oh, I want to watch that. I like Mr. T. I like the A-Team. So I convinced my dad to rent it, and I watched it. And you know, in the main event was Piper.
Yeah.
And starting there, to this day, I still believe that he was the greatest heel.
Oh yeah,
in the history of wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally.
No one could generate heat like he could.
Yeah, I think my earliest memory of Piper was watching. It's funny because my earliest memory of wrestling characters in general was the Rock and Wrestling cartoon
show. Mm-hmm.
And so my earliest memory of Piper was just that he was the main heel. Him and I think Captain Lou, I think, was a heel on that show too.
He shouldn't have been. He was.
Maybe not. Maybe he was a face.
Yeah.
I think maybe I'm mixing that up with the with him being a heel on that Cyndi Lauper video.
Yeah, that
he
could
was
be.
Definitely a heel there.
Yeah.
But anyways, Piper I think was the lead heel on the Hogan show on the cartoon show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was my earliest memory of him. And then like. As a kid, like, I sort of vaguely remember, like, starting to form a thing, like, memories about wrestling. Like, I'm not even sure, like, it's funny. Wrestling's just that thing that I've always known was that silly thing that everybody says is fake and everybody, and fans are like, it's not fake, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's how I distinctly remember Piper from the show. And then, you know, when I got older, and I started sort of, you know, I got into wrestling the same, you know, around college when you and I started becoming friends, is when I started, you know, we both started going through the backlog of stuff and, you know, it filling up our heads with all the useless wrestling crap that we know now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think like, I always remember it. Piper's one of those guys, like, I never watched wrestling as a kid, but I always knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I mean, he was up there with Hulk Hogan in terms of, like, people who I knew from wrestling. It was Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, and Piper. I didn't really even know who, like, Ric Flair was or Dusty Rhodes. I don't know any of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the big WWF guys because of the cartoon, and it was Hogan, Macho Man, Andre the Giant, and Piper.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you go back, and, you know, when you're older and you have more perspective and you're a fan, and you just understand, homie, you know, this guy was flipping outstanding. He was, you know, out of his mind and hilarious and smart. And he wasn't like a roid guy, or he didn't appear to be a roid guy.
Yeah.
Anyways, which was all the more impressive to sort of hold up, to sort of hold your own against a whole generation of like ridiculous cartoon characters, you know, without the benefit of being a massive, you know, giant fucking walking muscle like a lot of these guys were.
Well, I mean, I used to watch wrestling Saturday mornings religiously when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I always remember that Piper never wrestled.
Yeah.
He just talked.
Yeah.
And that's all you really needed to dislike him.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, you know, nowadays, you know, Seth Rollins is good on the mic, but he generates most of his heat by how he wins matches.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of remember Piper cheating when he did wrestle. But, you know, he didn't need to wrestle to get a reaction from people.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. And, so, of course, like, you know, that same sort of charisma and brain power and cleverness, whatever you want to call it, translated perfectly when he did shit like the classic They Live movie, which I always thought it was kind of a shame that he didn't do more stuff like that, because that movie was, I mean, for so many reasons, but he was like the perfect, like, you can't name like a better, I mean, that movie is the kind of thing that like a Kurt Russell would be perfect for.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Piper just made it, like, took it to another level because he came from the world of wrestling and he was not the typical action star guy, but he carried it perfectly, you know? So yeah, you know, 61, it's funny, you know, we talked about this a little bit. Whenever a wrestler dies these days, no matter how old or young, it's like we get on Twitter, and I'm not sure if people like, you know, are speaking literally or if they're just not thinking or what, but shocking is never a term to use, sadly, mm-hmm. when somebody dies in the wrestling world.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that's the nature of the sport. It's, mm-hmm. it's fucked up. And it's the one thing why I've always said, you know, I love movies. I'd love to be a filmmaker. I love music. I don't have a musical bone in my body, but I'd love to do it. Wrestling, I love, would never want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 61 seems a little young, especially for a guy who seemed to be in good shape mostly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't like a big roid guy. But
I just imagine that lifestyle.
Yeah.
Takes a toll on you, whether you know, whether you are, you know, you drink, you do drugs, you take mm-hmm. roids, regardless of that. I mean, I can't remember who said something that I read that, I think it was it Jesse Ventura, in his statement about Piper's death, said he worked 91 days straight in 91 different towns.
Yeah.
And he started doing it when he was 15 years old.
Yeah.
So just all that travel, you know, taking bumps night after night after night, that has to take a toll on the body.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's always sad when we hear about this stuff,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, he'll be. I mean, obviously, he's going to be remembered by everybody as sort mm-hmm. of, like you said, the best heel of all time. Like it's mm-hmm. it's hard to come up with somebody who even, you know, comes close to rivaling him.
It's either him or Ric Flair.
Yeah, yeah, and in terms of like the national spotlight, you know, the WWF obviously was in terms of nationally speaking, obviously the higher profile. You know, of that, between that, like WCW, NWA, or whatever.
Yeah.
So Piper, in terms of like who people associate with the biggest heel in wrestling on the mass level, you know, I think he runs away with it free and clear. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, he is the guy that apart from in the golden age of WWE, apart from Hogan and Andre, he's the only guy, the other guy that really transcended wrestling mm-hmm. into yeah. mainstream success.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, did you ever see the episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia he was on?
No, I didn't. There's so many of those that I haven't seen. Like, I've only seen probably 10 or 20 episodes of that show, and I've always meant to go back and check them all out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But anyways, we'll go ahead and continue on with the show. We just wanted to, you know, give our thoughts about him because we mm-hmm. knew obviously everybody would be asking and it's going in Raw. It's our wrestling show.
Yeah, here you go. Let's go to what's the first thing we do?
I think it's Raw Cap.
Raw Cap.
It's Raw Cap. Really, we want to see we're going into Raw. So tonight on Raw, we're going to take a look at is this Owens Orton feud? Number one, because we're both big Owens fans. I'm kind of not cool with now Owens being just sort of shoved into the rest of the mid card. I hope if him and Orton actually feud.
No, it's not an Orton.
They're not actually Owens feuding. Feud.
No, it's going to be Owens and Cesaro. Yeah.
Owens and Cesaro. That's right. That's going to be good. That's going to be a sleeper hit.
I don't even think it's going to be a sleeper hit. This is going to be a hit. They're going to put on awesome matches.
Yeah, I know. By sleeper hit, I just mean, you know, I think probably WWE knows what they're doing, like in terms of this, because like, I don't know, like they can't really put Owens into the main event scene right now.
No.
Although I would be much more excited with him as the U.S. champion going up to talk shit to Rollins than Cena.
Oh yeah, obviously.
But I guess they have to give Cena his flair breaking world championship reign at some point.
Well, we'll get to that later on when we get to that part of Raw. We can talk about whether Cena, in light of what happened to Cena's face.
Yeah.
If that match will even happen.
It has to happen.
I know it will, but
SummerSlam, they announced the open of Raw.
Yeah.
That SummerSlam is going to be 4 hours. Do you think that's too long?
I think it's going to make for a really long weekend overall of wrestling, because I believe the NXT show the day before is going to be 3 hours.
Yeah. Is that going to be on the network? Yeah, it is, huh? Yeah.
Ooh, live on the network, yeah.
That's going to be good.
And then 4 hours of SummerSlam, and then 3 hours of Raw the next night, all in the same building.
You know what I would love? What I would be okay with in terms of SummerSlam being 4 hours long? And given that they do seem to be making the SummerSlam weekend on par with the WrestleMania weekend,
mm-hmm.
is if they made SummerSlam, I mean, it's already obviously the big summer event, but if they got it closer to being on par with WrestleMania in terms of rebooting storylines making it as big a deal as WrestleMania. What do you think about that?
So you want it in stadiums rather than arenas?
Possibly. If they could get it to that point, I'm sure that they would love that.
Well, it was SummerSlam. It was a SummerSlam where the British Bulldog fought Bret Hart for the IC belt, and that was the main event at Wembley Stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
So it has been done. I think they did another. I want to say they did another outdoor SummerSlam at some point too.
Yeah,
I could be wrong about that though.
If they started to build that, if that's sort of the idea, it's like why have one WrestleMania when you can have two a year?
And also, it would give an opportunity for. Places with cooler weather that mm-hmm. can't host WrestleMania,
yeah,
for fear of inclement weather,
yeah,
they could just have SummerSlam. You know, like if you want to have a huge wrestling show in, say, Minneapolis,
mm-hmm.
you can't do that.
Yeah,
in late March, early April, it's too cold.
But
you can do it in August.
It would also let them toy with the idea of having a giant show, be it a WrestleMania or a SummerSlam. Overseas, because mm-hmm. I know they had, you know, there was speculation because I forgot who, but somebody said, you know, England really deserves a WrestleMania, mm-hmm. London really deserves a WrestleMania, which I think would be great, but you know, people have noted, well, yeah, but you know, the time difference is gonna fuck the show up royally. You know, you just can't do that.
Well, they did it before. They did it in 93 or 92 whenever they had Bulldog and Brett. It's been done already. I don't know exactly.
That's the precedence-shattering event.
Sure, it happened 20 some years ago, but it's been done. I don't know how they handle the time difference. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. So I don't know. I mean, I'm fine with it. I don't care. You know, if it's 4 hours long, I don't. These are blow-up shows. Like, it's not like we're gonna get. It's not like it's a 4 hour. It's not like you're saying Raw's gonna go to 4 hours where you have to sludge through it every single. You know, if a pay-per-view is 4 hours, there's a match you don't particularly want to see. Get up and go to the bathroom, order some food, do something else, you know?
This is what I'm hoping, is instead of overstuffing the card with like 12 matches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Give us 7 or 8 really good long matches.
Yeah, as long as we don't get, you know, Wade Barrett versus R-Truth during the show, like to keep that on the stupid pre-show. I mean, I like R-Truth, but.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I don't really need to see another fight between him and Wade Barrett. I'm fine with it. Like you said, yeah, give us like 7 or 8 really, really good matches. Because, I mean, the roster is jam-packed these days. So,
it is.
You know, fucking why not? Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah, moving on. Wyatt versus Reigns. We had the reunion or the official coronation of the Wyatt family redux.
Yeah.
Where Luke... did you see that WrestleZone report that's might very well fuck up our own nose? It's Adam Rose segment.
No, was it a talk that Adam Rose is going to join the Wyatt family?
As Leon Kruger.
Huh.
I was hoping it would be as Leon Luger, but I guess Leon Kruger is their IP, not yours. So they can do that. yeah, they're I read that idea. I hope that comes to fruition. That would be kind of cool. Because from what I understand, his character was... when he was Kruger, was kind of in keeping with that sort of darker theme.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be him coming out with a stupid rave
Rosebuds.
Posse. Yeah, the Rosebuds. Hello.
He had this great... I know I texted you the other day when I was watching Total Divas with the wife that Adam Rose had a really good line.
Yeah.
And there's a point in the show where it's Tyson Kidd, Natalya, Titus O'Neil, Heath Slater and Adam Rose all in the car together, leaving Raw, going to the next city. And they start playing, I don't know, something like Truth or Dare or something.
Yeah.
And Natalya starts asking a question, but she has a hard time getting it out.
Uh-huh.
And Adam Rose says to her, "You should really prep your questions better." Just deadpan. It cracked me up.
That's good. See, I do need to watch that show. Like, when they focus on the divas too much... That's, I mean, I have a hard time watching it, but...
Oh, this last episode was great, because Titus O'Neil was in a vast majority of it, and it was awesome. They need to give Titus his own show.
They really do. What did you say, Titus, what did you say? Total Titus?
Total Titus, yeah.
That'd be good. What are they going to, let's see, SummerSlam's coming up. You've probably read the report that there's the possibility, and then it was kind of debunked this past week that Sting... would join Reigns and Ambrose to take on the Wyatt family. And now they're thinking that maybe that's not going to happen, which would lead me to be bummed out by the fact that Ono's Adam Rose isn't going to be joining the Wyatt family. But I don't know. Like, to me, that feels a little weird. I don't like Sting. I don't like Sting as the babyface old guy coming in a non-consequential tag match like this. I just don't.
No, I agree.
I'm not into that. I want something that's going to have ramifications.
He seems like, hey, we need to have Sting on the card.
Yeah.
Let's just put him in here.
Yeah, let's put him with a couple of guys who are already over. I mean, he's over anyways, but I don't know. I don't like that. I think Ambrose needs to be in a good feud right now with somebody. And the thing about him is that he doesn't need, you don't need to have anything like, you know, any titles on the, like, he could just have a really good storyline with somebody.
I know. And even, you know, when he was in the feud with Wyatt by himself, it
seemed
like it was good, but the potential was there for it to be so much better.
Yeah, I know. Hell, even put him in there with, like, he had a match against the Big Show this past week, which was a good storytelling match.
Yeah.
Put him in a program against Big Show. Who cares? You know what I mean? Like, get him over. Put, you know, Big Show is one of those, is a jobber to the stars. Get him in there with the Big Show. You know, it's not going to hurt the Big Show. It won't do amazing things for Ambrose. He doesn't need amazing.
Yeah.
Ambrose is crazy. You can put him anywhere and he'll succeed. Put him in the main event and people will pop up for him like he deserves to be the champion. Put him in the lower card and people, and he'll bring up the prestige of the lower card.
Yeah.
Like, you can put him anywhere and he'll do good. That's the great thing about Ambrose.
I just had a thought that after the Owens Cesaro program wraps, give us Owens Ambrose.
Oh, man. You know, I was thinking about that too. You can put Owens in there with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Owens can be in there with a lot of people.
And he'll put on, especially on pay-per-views, he will put on the best match of the night.
Probably. I do feel that, you know, it's funny. Owens is one of those guys I feel is benefited by having a belt, though. If you gave him the IC belt, I think it'd make him and the IC belt look better. If you gave him the US belt, it'd make him and the US belt look better. He's one of those guys who carries the belt like it means something. You know, like, even the fact that he had the developmental belt, the NXT belt, and he made it mean something by carrying it with weight. And I don't mean that as a pun.
Yeah.
Did you read the thing Cornette was saying about Owens?
I kind of remember that, yeah.
I guess Owens was kind of, which isn't really surprising.
Oh, yeah, that he wasn't easy to work with.
Yeah, he's kind of a stubborn dude, and, like, they wanted him to lose weight. He's like, we just didn't want him being obese. And it looks like he's lost a little bit of weight, and he's probably good to work with now. It makes me wonder, though, if that's why they, if yeah, I think they probably just want Cena to have his last title run before he starts making movies or whatever.
That could be.
I don't know.
Didn't Cena say in some interview or something that he doesn't have any plans to leave wrestling anytime soon and go Hollywood?
Maybe they just feel that one last title reign should happen sooner than later just because of their plans for him to become a jobber to the stars.
Could be.
I don't know. I mean, if the guy is still selling merch, then he still needs to be up there. I mean, that's just that's business wise.
Yep.
Let's see here. Owens fought Orton. I like.
Hold on. I had an idea for this. I had a dream earlier this week.
Yeah.
And maybe this hues too closely to the Wyatt Daniel Bryan storyline, but I don't remember that. And I was imagining it, or the way I dreamt of it was that it was Wyatt does something in the dream. It was Cena, where Wyatt brainwashes someone with a belt, I think is what it was.
Okay.
And then he claims the belt for his own, as his own, but he, instead of defending it, he makes the guy who actually has the belt defend it.
Okay.
And so, like, it's this weird mind control thing.
Oh, I kind of like that's good.
And so I thought, well, why not put some belt on Reigns and have that? And so when Reigns finally breaks free, a la Daniel Bryan, you know, Daniel Bryan got a big pop.
Yeah.
So why not Reigns?
There is,
if you want to get Reigns over.
There is either an... That should be the segment. If you want to get Reigns over, this is what you do. And then it'd be ridiculous. That's not bad, actually. If you want to get Reigns, because every week that seems to be what we're doing. You know, if they want to get Reigns over, this is what you do.
Yeah.
Have them beat Sheamus. If you want to get Reigns over, have them beat Wyatt. with a belt already on. There was either a Japanese pro wrestling event or pro wrestling match, or it was an indie pro wrestling match. I forget which one, where they always do weird shit. And there is this guy's finisher. I don't know if it was his finisher or if it was just something that he did. It seemed like it was kind of his finisher, where he would hypnotize somebody. Somebody would be coming at him, and he'd like throw his hands up in a weird formation, and they would stop. And then he would sort of start voodooing them. Like, he'd start like twisting his hand around, and they would start twisting around.
Oh, that's funny.
They should have Wyatt do that to Reigns.
Yeah.
Add that to his repertoire. He can start hitting the
You're essentially making Bray Wyatt Darth Vader.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. You can just choke people from far away. That'd be great. The amount of credibility. I wish you'd see more of that kind of shit. Like, if TNA really wanted to get ratings, they'd do shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, think outside the box. Don't just try to be a bunker burnout version of WWE. Like, do shit that's risky.
Yeah.
Do some risky shit, TNA, and start paying your people. This ain't NXT. I'll pay my people. What else we have here? Owens fought Orton. I love Owens' jibber jabber.
Yeah, me too.
On mic or off mic, he comes in and he just starts yelling at people, and I love that.
Yeah. Well, both him and Orton are really good at you know, chatting with people around the ring, or how they are interacting with the ref, or in Owen's case, always yelling at Michael Cole.
Yeah,
it's just those little details that makes them seem more invested in what they're doing, and then you're more invested in what they're doing,
right?
Because they care about all those little details.
Yeah, yeah.
And on the other side of that coin, you have Sheamus,
and then Sheamus. He's so bad. He's so bad. Why does he have the briefcase?
I'm telling you, because if it's him versus Reigns, no one likes Sheamus. Reigns will get a pop.
Is there anybody else that is that boring and annoying? Like, I can't think of anybody right now who, I mean, I guess there's sort of Wade Barrett maybe, but I'm not sure. He's not as legit. They haven't put as much time and money in Wade Barrett.
Yeah,
Wade Barrett is so injury riddled.
There's no one in the upper mid-card main event scene right now that's as dull as Sheamus.
Yeah.
I don't think, at least.
I think Triple H really likes Sheamus.
I think I heard they were workout buddies or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's a problem. That's a big problem. On one hand, it's great because Triple H loves Seth Rollins. On the other hand, it's terrible because Triple H apparently loves Sheamus. That's a bummer. I wonder how Vince feels about Sheamus.
Sheamus will be a transitional champion.
Yeah, he will be. He will be. He'll be like a Miz champion.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, how is this guy still the champion? I thought they were done with that, though. Man, I wish they were done with that crap. Let's see here. Divas Revolution.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it. Yeah, it's good so far. I like it. I mean, we need some... Right now, they're still in their introductory phase.
Yeah. I still kind of feel like they're operating... The NXT women.
Mm-hmm.
Are still kind of operating at like 85% speed.
Yeah, I know. I kind of get that feeling.
It feels
too.
Like even the Sasha Banks Paige match, which was good.
Yeah,
but I mean, Sasha Banks was putting on way better matches in NXT.
I love that Paige tapped. I like that. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. That was good. Sasha Banks
is really good.
She's all in. She's all into like bringing up, like doing whatever is best for business. Mm-hmm. I love them. I just want to get to stories. I want to get to stories with them, not just, hey, we're here now. Yeah. I want to get to actual stories. Because I think especially between Paige's team, whatever they call themselves, and then Team Bad or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
I think they can have some really good stories together.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of expecting at SummerSlam to have the 9-woman tag match for all three teams, I would guess.
Yeah, it sounds probably right. I could see that happening.
It'd be interesting if they did it, did an elimination tag match.
Because they're not gonna. They're like, as soon, it's funny. I wonder how soon. Hey, let me ask this. How soon after Nikki Bella breaks AJ Lee's consecutive days streak as champion? How long after that is she gonna get? Hey, wouldn't it be great if they had her drop the title a day before? They're not gonna do that. There's no way. But if they fucking drop their ego and they stop caring about, you know, they did this shit before when who was the youngest champion?
It was Lesnar.
It was Lesnar, and then they gave it to somebody else to sort of say, when they gave it to Orton, Was Orton champion after Lesnar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think that was kind of because Lesnar left or something.
That could be.
I forget what it was. I don't know.
Because Lesnar came up in 2002, and I think he won the one of the belts.
Yeah.
Early 2003, I want to say.
They made Orton. When was Orton the World Heavyweight Champion? I think it was because... And then Lesnar... I don't know. I thought somebody left on bad terms who was the youngest champion ever. And
that
then,
would have to be Lesnar then.
That would have had to have been Lesnar. And then Orton. Lesnar left for the UFC, obviously. Was that on?
No, he left to go try to play football.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I got a bug in my throat. Anyways, and then they just gave it to Orton, which is good. I mean, he ends up being a Hall of Famer, but but I don't like when they do that. I don't like when they try to erase their history. I mean, unless you have a raging racist on your hands. Or a killer. I'm not huge on that. Like, you know, leave on bad terms, it's fine. But if you haven't done something really fucked up, then you shouldn't be, they shouldn't just try to go after your record.
Yeah.
With somebody who's not deserving. And I'm sorry, but Nikki Bella is not deserving.
Not really.
I mean, she's gotten better and maybe she's made them a lot of money because of the Total Divas thing. And that's fine. You can reward that.
I don't know how, you know, all that's been affecting merchandise sales, you know, so
yeah, I just think it'd be great if they made that such a big deal. How legitimately shocking would that be if they made such a big deal about her about to break the record, and then a day before, I mean, I don't know it'd have to be like a Raw or paper. It'd have to be a paper.
Yeah.
Like a day before they have her drop the title and she just goes ballistic. Like that'd be a great story.
It would be.
Let's see here. Rusev, my MVP right now.
Yeah, he is your favorite.
The very hot and always obedient Samurai.
Always obedient. I just loved it when he said, it's a fish.
It's a fish. It's a fish. Let's call it, and he's neutered. He's ugly. He's got skinny legs. Let's call him Dog Ziggler.
He was so happy with himself.
Oh god. And now they're called dead fish. And I like that. I think JBL or somebody said, well, where's the fish's head?
Yeah, I know. All the announcers made a point of making sure that everybody knew that it was a headless fish.
It was a headless fish.
It's obviously it went to the fish market and just bought a fish.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if Vince was in the back, maybe laughing to himself, saying, hey, okay, JBL, mention that the fish doesn't have a head. Okay, Cole, now mention that the fish doesn't have a head. Just laughing to himself.
It surprised the hell out of me when Rusev picked up the fish and threw it on the ramp.
I know. That was great.
I was expecting the fish to kind of explode.
I loved when, because it's obvious that they have like a, hands off the female wrestlers if you're a male wrestler, kind of like the video game, like you can't even touch them, because when Lana goes after Samurai, instead of separating him, he just starts yelling at them.
Yeah.
He just starts yelling at Lana. That was good. I like that. I love that whole segment. Is Rusev and Ziggler fighting at SummerSlam? Is that happening?
Yeah, it hasn't been confirmed yet, because I guess Dolph's off shooting a movie.
Oh, okay. So Lana let her hair down a little bit. I don't know. I'm still, until this gets resolved and Lana shows me something else where she's not with Dolph, I'm all in on, I just want Rusev to get over on Lana somehow. However they do that. Yeah. I want that to happen. I don't know. Do you think if Rusev and Dolph fight at SummerSlam, do you think Rusev's going to go over?
I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it too. That'd be a bummer. Rusev needs a couple of wins under his belt.
He does.
Let's see here. And then Cena Rollins.
And that was a pay-per-view quality match.
It really was. That was a really, really good match.
And it was interesting because, and I don't know if this is something that Rollins is doing to fit his character, but pretty much since he's won the belt, or pretty much since he's turned heel, he's worked a slower pace. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
And it seemed like for that match, he really picked it up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. I think that's definitely deliberate, because it's hard to get over as a heel if you're wowing the crowds.
Exactly.
You have to wow them a different way. You have to, by the end of the match, people have to say, wow, that was a great match. And they can't say, wow, Seth Rollins is really great. Mm-hmm. So he has to make sure that he's putting on really good matches, but really deliberate matches.
Mm-hmm.
And bringing his opponent up as opposed to let me look flashy and great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the knee to the nose and then Cena's nose launching to like the other side of his head.
Wow.
Was woo. And then the entire rest of the match, the only thing Cena's concerned about, like Rollins is only concerned that you can tell he's protecting the crap out of Cena's face after that.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, thank God they got rid of the curb stomp because you can't do a curb stomp on a guy with a broken nose. You can't,
absolutely not.
You can't do that.
No.
And so the rest of the time, Cena's trying to, he's trying to make sure the camera's not picking up the massive amount of blood that's gushing out of his face.
It's always remarkable when incidences like that happen,
mm-hmm.
how everybody's still a pro.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Because like, I imagine Seth Rollins saw what happened and thought to himself, oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But you never know it.
Yeah, he didn't break character.
Right, exactly.
Cena, apart from rolling in the corner and kind of gathering himself for a second, mm-hmm. didn't break character.
Yeah, at all, yeah.
He stayed in the ring after the match, you know, so the fans could take their pictures,
mm-hmm.
celebrate it a bit.
I think for him, that was just, I mean, dude, he's been doing it so long, and he's had so many injuries in the ring mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. he's just had to keep it going. Mm-hmm. Like, this was probably just a minor annoyance for him, you know? Yeah. He's probably like, oh, crap, how do I transition and not make this like a blood fest on Raw, you know, on the USA Network.
Yeah.
So you were saying earlier, do you think, number one, Cena's been pulled from Raw tonight.
Yeah. I think Cena's been pulled from a lot of shows. I doubt he's going to wrestle until SummerSlam.
He's been pulled from a lot of shows. Has he been pulled from Raw tonight?
Yeah. He's been pulled from next week's, the Raw that's airing Monday.
Right.
Tonight. This goes up. I believe all the live events the weekend
the
prior.
The live events, yeah. That wouldn't
surprise
me. He gets
pulled from those. And I think there was an Australian tour coming up, too, that he got pulled from as well.
We'll find out tonight for sure. I guess it could be up in the air. If he's not going to be at Raw, I mean, it's one thing if he's not at Raw at 1 week. They still have a whole month left, which is good. But, you know, the next three Raws, he has to be there. Like,
he'll be there, but he's not wrestling.
Right. Yeah.
And if they're shaping things up for a Rollins Cena match at SummerSlam, him Cena that is not mm-hmm. being at Raw next week is actually decent fodder for Rollins to play off of.
Yeah, I guess so. Like Cena's just aura, I guess, is enough to be there. In fact, it might actually be more interesting if Cena's not there.
Yeah.
So that Rollins can talk about breaking his face.
Rollins can go out and take credit for destroying Cena's face.
It should be good, actually. Like Rollins having to fight back against the crowd, yelling "You tapped out."
Yeah.
What do you think about him? What do you think about him tapping out? You're okay with that?
I'm more okay with that than I am Owens tapping out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought Owens tapping out really.
I think you're right. That
but the way, and maybe it was partially because Cedar broke his nose.
Mm-hmm.
I for some reason I had sympathy for the guy.
Yeah.
But also the way Rollins sold the STF and the mm-hmm. way Cena put it on, it seemed a little more brutal than usual.
Okay, yeah.
It just seemed more physical. Like Cena was really cranking his neck back.
And
Rollins is really contorting himself. So sometimes when Cena puts that on, it looks like, you know, anybody can get out of it.
Yeah, it looks like a hug. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And this one actually looked like there was some torque behind he's really stretching him, so that didn't bother me so much in terms of the telling the story of what was going on. It didn't bother me as much as Owens tapping.
Yeah. I wish that in both cases I wish it was put on a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish that he had on a little bit longer.
No, I agree. And I think we discussed it last week regarding the Owens Cena match, that mm-hmm. if they'd done a spot a la Angle with the ankle lock, if they had to let that go back and forth for 5 minutes, that Owens was really fucking fighting it.
Yeah.
And just couldn't do it anymore, then okay.
Made him look a lot better too, yeah.
Yeah.
They did that,
but,
yeah.
You know, he scrambled to the ropes once, Cena brought him back in the middle of the ring, done.
Yeah.
It was what, 60 seconds maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, if that. Yeah.
Triple that at least, and then make a story just out of that one move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, distill their whole feud to that one hold mm-hmm. and then make it interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens tonight. We'll see if Cena's still in play. I mean, I imagine he will be. It kind of puts a damper on things because I don't know much about broken noses. Not sure how hard you can go. I mean, obviously there's not going to be any more running knees to the face.
Yeah.
You're not going to see any of those in SummerSlam, but still, you don't want to have, you know, a match where somebody's holding back. But I mean, if anybody can do it and pull off an amazing match, it'll be Cena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say what you will about him, but he can do that.
Yeah, he has a pretty extensive history of wrestling hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and bringing
or coming back
up
early from injuries that would sideline most wrestlers a hell of a lot longer.
Really annoyed that he hit the springboard stunner. I hate that move so much. That was my one beef with the match, is that he hit the springboard stunner. God, I hate that move so much.
It's that and the setup to the five knuckle shuffle.
Yeah.
I mean, if you know, let's talk kayfabe here. Mm-hmm. If you're a wrestler and you're watching tape of your opponents, you should see both those moves coming a mile away.
Yeah.
They're the exact opposite of the RKO.
Yeah.
You always see them coming.
Yeah.
They never come out of nowhere. So, I don't know.
Well, there's your Raw cap.
Raw cap.
Before we get to much more fun stuff, you want to talk about Hogan real quick?
I guess so.
Big bummer.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say it's terribly surprised. Did you? Let me ask you this. Did you read or hear Piper's response to the Hogan
stuff? I read it, yeah.
If nothing else, this is what I'll say about it. It's horrible. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. No defending it, and there's no even... But you have to understand, Piper's response was crazy and incoherent, but I think I kind of understood their justification for it, or at least that era's possible justification for it, in that when he talked about going to Madison Square Garden, and this is Piper's words, he says, you've got 16,000 Puerto Ricans, you know, shouting at you. It just made me wonder what the culture was like, because we both talked about, A, the fact that whenever you see a wrestling event, whenever we watch a pay-per-view from, say, the 1980s, it looks like it's from the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it in the 1970s, it looks like it's the 1960s, and so on and so forth. It makes me wonder, and we've also said a million times, that the pro wrestling, back in the day, way more than now, but especially back, I would say back in the day up to like the early 90s, kind of a haven for scumbags.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are good guys, but then you hear stories about Jake the Snake. You hear stories about, I don't know, any number of guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the drug use, et cetera. And I'm just talking about steroids, but, you know, just the rampant drug use, recreational speaking. And just everything seems the justifiable homicides. Like, it's just, it's always kind of seemed like a lot of shady characters come from the world of wrestling, like back in the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me wonder what the culture was like that would breed something like Hulk Hogan and his comments and Piper and what he says. If there was some sort of cultural divide in the locker room, in the arenas, where that kind of stuff was like, yeah, that's just how we all thought about each other. You know, it was us versus them versus them versus them in terms of the racial or ethnic lines.
I don't know, because, you know, you hear a lot of wrestlers have given their thoughts on what Hogan said.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, you know, everybody agrees it's awful, because there's literally no excuse.
No, zero. That. Yeah, absolutely.
Zero excuse for that. It's terrible. It's disgusting. But it's interesting to hear a really diverse group of wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some, like Scott Steiner and Sid, who, you know, are across the board up front about disliking Hogan.
Yeah.
And then you have Kamala and Virgil, who kind of almost go to bat for Hogan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, even The Rock the other day said, you know, what he said is awful, but he's never known him, because apparently his dad helped train him in Florida. He's never known him to say that kind of stuff normally.
Yeah. 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 That's what, across the board, that's what everybody said. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But that kind of also speaks. That kind of speaks to, I'm trying to put this in a way that's not defending him, and that's not like, and that isn't, but it makes me wonder, like, I legitimately want to know what the culture is like back then, where you have an us versus them racial divide, but everybody has a mutual understanding and a mutual respect. But then it's okay to refer to certain people in a certain way and certain other people in a certain way. But it doesn't mean that you won't work with them. It doesn't mean you won't make money with them. And it doesn't mean you won't treat them as equals. But there is a divide there.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, that's the question for me. I mean,
when I read what Piper said, you know, in terms of the Puerto Ricans and whatnot yelling at him, I interpret that strictly as when he walks through that curtain and goes out to the ring, that's what he's facing. But I never got a sense from, based on what he said, and granted, I just kind of skimmed through it, that he carried those same feelings naturally back into the locker room.
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, for one thing, it was really difficult to understand what the hell he was saying in the first place.
Yeah.
But trying to extrapolate from that, and just those older guys, I mean, there always seems to be with the older guys that feeling of some sort of ethnic or racial divide. But that's not in a way that we're not going to, that it's so hard to put into words, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like nowadays, everybody comes up with everybody and everything's so mixed. And that's, you know, that's one of the cool things about, you know, I think kids growing. I was reading this thing the other day, you know, about the kids and how, I think Obama said it. He said, you know, my girls, their generation and their take on race is so different than even the generation before them, because everything is so mixed. Even me talking to my oldest stepkid, she's 16, and how things I perceive as different than even when you and I were growing up. Versus, and if you take that logically back and back and back, like three generations or so, it makes me wonder if there was just a different mindset where the ethnic lines were thicker. So I don't, like I said, it's completely not defensible, but you know, the fact that so many have gone to bat for him, let me just ask you this. Do you think he's ever going to recover from this? Will we ever see him in the WWE again? People have a short memory these days.
No, I know. I
mean, but yeah, this is pretty big.
The news cycle is so... If so, it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
It's going to take a long time.
Yeah. And it's going to take a lot more than just posting retweets of people saying, I don't think Hogan's a racist, you know?
Yeah, and then his pretty brief apology.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's got to go, you know, on some show, do the interview, apologize.
And comparing it, trying to compare it to the time Vince said, you know,
yeah,
said it on air, because that was obviously just a really, really, really ill-conceived gag. You know, that was just, but yeah, I don't know. It's funny because it was like, when I woke up and read it, I was like, that's a real drag, but it's also so not surprising. Just because it's like, you know, and it's funny when they're talking about replacing me as a judge on Tough Enough and they're talking about the possibility of replacing with Ric Flair. I'm like, do you honestly think that Ric Flair has never said something like that in his life? Like, I don't know. I have no idea. But given the fact that we know a lot about Ric Flair's other things, you know, he's on a plane doing a falicopter in front of stewardesses, evidently.
Yeah.
Allegedly, whatever that is. You know, it's just, there's, you know, my favorite Stone Cold was a wife beater, you know, and that's horrible. That's horrible. And I can only hope that he legitimately has turned himself around. He seems like he has. He seems like he has a happy home life, and he seems like he's not going to get arrested again. If he did, would I be surprised? No. He's got a history of doing it, you know. With those older guys, I just don't know. You know?
Yeah, you kind of wonder if the older guys have the capacity to learn from their mistakes.
Yeah, I know. No country for old men, Larson.
Or the willingness, you know, the capacity or willingness to learn from their mistakes.
Yeah, no, mindset is right. You know, can they do that in their head? Are they wired to do that?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting stuff, but it's a bummer. Time for much happier things, Larson. This is a gift this week, man. I'm giving you a gift.
Really?
There is no, there's no ambiguity in the theme. This week, the Von Erichs.
Okay.
How well do you know your Von Erichs?
One second. I need to get, let me get a pen here that works.
All right.
All right. For those who haven't listened to Going In Raw or haven't listened to a while, explain to them again what Kayfabe Corner is.
Kayfabe Corner is the ultimate wrestling challenge. It's each week, one of us is the challenger and the other one is the challengee. And this week, I am going to ask Larson. I will present him with 12 names, half of which are real, half of which are fake.
Mm-hmm.
He has to determine which is which. Last week, I did fantastic.
You got 9?
8 or 9, I forget which one.
You got 9.
Yeah,
you
it
got
was
9
pretty good.
You were one short of my record.
That's right, I was one short of your record, that's right. And
10, let's follow up with that. 10, obviously, since you were one short of my record. 10 is the score to beat. I got a 10-1.
Correct. Correct, Amundo. All right, let's see. Let's see.
Is there a bonus question this week?
Yeah, there's a bonus question.
Okay.
Let me write it down just so I remember it because I didn't write it down. Hold on. Then it's a gimme too.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
All right.
Number one.
All right.
Ross Von Erich.
Fake.
Wrong. Real.
Really?
Yeah. Third generation Von Erich.
Oh, okay. I know of Lacey Von Erich, but I didn't know there's another one.
Yeah, I know. That was the only one that I knew, the fake one. The real third generations, but he's a real third generation.
Huh.
Number two.
Okay.
Van Von Erich.
Van Von Erich?
Yeah.
Fake.
Very good. Number three. Cookie Adkisson.
Real.
Fake.
Damn it.
I have a Cookie Monster shirt, and Adkisson is a real Von Erich.
Yeah, I know. I know that's a real last name.
See, I tricked you with the real last name. Marshall Von Erich.
Marshall Von Erich. Fake.
Real.
Damn it.
Don Von Erich. D-A-W-N. Don Von Erich.
Real.
Fake.
Damn it.
Don is the middle name of Lacey Von Erich.
Oh,
or Lacey
okay.
Adkisson. Waldo Von Erich.
Waldo Von Erich.
Uh-huh.
Seems like it should be fake. Real.
Very good. If it seems like it should be fake, it's probably real.
Yep. Man, I've only gotten 2 right so far. This is
the only one that isn't necessarily Von Erich related.
Okay.
Black Superman.
I have to say real.
Very good. It was Tony Atlas, who wrestled as Black Superman, I believe, in WCCW. So the Von Erichs at some point took on Black Superman. Next.
Yes.
How many do you have so far?
I have 3.
Okay. Dan Adkisson.
Dan?
Yeah.
Real.
Fake.
Damn.
Chet Von Erich.
Chet Von Erich?
Yeah.
Fake.
Very good. That was my favorite of the bunch. Although I'm thinking an NX Steve. I'm going to bring up a guy named Gary Van Erich. Gary Van Erich. Gary. All right, moving on.
Yeah.
Mike Von Erich.
Real.
Very good. He was actually one of the sons. He was one of the legit ones. He was Carrie's little brother, I think. Died in like 87, I think. Maybe 2009. I forget which one.
Which one? What?
He died of an overdose.
Which one died in Japan?
I want to say David?
Yeah, that sounds right.
It's David. No, wait. No, yeah. And Kevin's the one who's still alive.
Yeah.
David, I think, died in Japan. That was a fucked up one.
Where his stomach exploded.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Good. Mm-mm. And there was Mike. He died of tranquilizer. And of course, Carrie killed himself.
Yeah.
The Fabulous Lance.
The Fabulous Lance.
Mm-hmm.
Real.
Very good. Lance Von Erich. He was the fake one. He was one of the fake ones. And finally, Sheldon Dennis, MD.
Sheldon Dentist, MD.
Sheldon Dennis.
Oh, Dennis, sorry.
MD.
So he's a medical doctor.
Apparently, yeah.
Fake.
Very good. In fact, there was actually, according to Wikipedia anyways, Lance Von Erich, the first fake one, was trained by a guy named Dennis Sheldon, MD. I couldn't find any other information on him. Like, apparently he was a real guy of some sort, but I switched his name up and made him fake. All right.
Okay.
How many you got right now?
That's 7.
Woo! Okay, so you could get 8. Like, so this is a gift this week. But this has been, I know this is kind of tough, but this one's easy. This is a gimme. So you should have 8.
Okay.
Why didn't anyone accept Lance Von Erich as a shoot Von Erich, as a real Von Erich?
Oh, wasn't he a star football player?
Very good, very good. He was a star high school football player in the area. Everybody knew him.
8.
Very good, 8. That was a fun one. I like that. The Von Erichs.
I already have my list done for next week.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
Next week, yeah. It's good. Good. The theme's good.
Good, 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 good. And I would highly recommend anybody listening right now the Rise and, no, not the Rise and Fall, the Wonderful Life, what it is. There's a WCCW doc on the network, and it is so fun. It is so cool, and it's very – the heartbreak or something? Triumph and Tragedy of WCW. There you go. WCCW, I think.
WCCW, yeah.
Really good. It's all about the Von Erichs. The Freebirds are in there. What a great, if there was any territory, maybe the AWA also, but the WCCW in that sweaty ass old arena, if I could go back in time, that'd be a trip.
You'd want to go to the Dallas Sportatorium?
Yep, I would love that. I would love that. See the Von Erichs versus the Freebirds. That would be on my top, one of my top lists of time travel stops.
Mm-hmm.
That and find out who killed JFK.
Mm-hmm.
And to go to Hogan and say, Hogan, don't do it. Don't go in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Brother. Oh, man. All right. Well, anyways, that's this episode of Going In Raw. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
And we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.